local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
We are back. One more segment with the Sacktown Sports Kings Insiders. We will be joined by Jovan Buha at 12:30 to talk Lakers, Lakers writer for The Athletic. Always great insight. So we will talk to Jovan at that time. Also, in an hour, you have an opportunity to win tickets to see local legend Hasan Minhaj at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center from beautiful downtown Sacramento, 916-339-1140. If you want your chance to win tickets, Chris will be picking the number this time. All right, fellas, let's turn the page to the Lakers. You know they're going to be hot to trot. Anthony Davis already said, we owe them one. How do the Kings not get too caught up in what they did last night? Turn the page and get a much-needed W. I mean, this is a bad time. Yeah, it wouldn't be bad if you go, what, 3-1 against the Lakers? Right now they're undefeated. The problem is the timing of that one, right?
Yeah, and I'm kind of looking at it the same way as far as, like, last night was so fun in a game that I think will be one of the more memorable wins of the year. But you have the kind of, like, unfortunate part about that is that you have to turn the page so quickly, because if you lose tonight, the vibes are going to be just bad. Because if you look at the standings, Kings have a two-game lead over the Lakers right now, and a win chops that in half. But if you can put three games between yourself and the Lakers with 17 games to go, and the Lakers' schedule gets pretty tough in the next couple weeks, that's going to just kind of put maybe one team in the rear view you don't have to worry about as much. But Anthony Davis is the player I'm looking at tonight. He said what he said as far as, like, they owe the Kings one. Over the past two games, both wins for the Lakers against the Bucks and Minnesota, 24.5 points, 19 rebounds, 5 assists, 3.5 steals, 3 blocks. Him and Sabonis, there's that constant narrative as far as Sabonis has the perfect 9-0 record. And to Sabonis' credit, he completely outplayed him last week at Crypto. Are we calling it Crypto, or do you still call it Staples?
Staples.
I just say L.A.
I can't not call it Staples. It hurt to say Crypto. But I'm looking at that matchup. Again, and the Kings, they match up very well against the Lakers. I think that's something that they've pointed out before the game as well. Some of their guys that cover the beat, I read some of their work. And the Kings' offense, 120 points per game against the Lakers this season. That is their most against any team they've faced three or more times. Wow. They are locked in on offense against the Lakers. Can they do it again tonight? That's the question. On the second night of a back-to-back, which they've struggled at this year as well.
They're 2-1 in the series, right?
3-0.
3-0. See, I was confused on this a lot yesterday, too. For some reason in my mind, they lost one.
Which game do you think? Was it the overtime loss?
Why are you trying to give him an L?
Early season ones. Yeah. It's probably one of the early season ones that I had in my head.
When Fox hurt his ankle.
Yes.
Yes, that would make sense.
Didn't Fox hurt his ankle? And
then Malik went off?
Or didn't Sabonis also foul out and they still won?
Let me pull it up.
Something ridiculous like that. I know Fox was not in when that game ended, but they had. You found it?
Third game of the year. Yes. Mm-hmm. Third game of the season. They went to overtime. Fox injured his ankle late in the game, comes out. I think Sabonis did foul out, if I'm looking at this correctly. Domantas Sabonis finishes the night with 6 personal fouls. Mm-hmm. He did foul out late. So, that was a game that they really
squeezed. Photographic memory. You know, and that was my second game here in Sacktown. I was thinking, we on the way to the top. It's going down. But hopefully the Kings can continue the undefeated streak. What is it about the Kings that bug the Lakers? We saw a report last week that talked about the Lakers essentially just can't handle the speed of the Kings guards. They can handle the shiftiness of the OKC guards, but they cannot handle the speed of the Kings guards. And you hope that they still have that speed coming off of back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely an aspect of it. The Lakers, very similar to the Kings post-All-Star break, 5th in offense. Defensively, 28th, which is not something you would expect for a Lakers team. The Lakers, 28th in defensive rating. Huh. They've been really bad post-All-Star break. And, you know, for what it's worth, that's only a 10-game sample size. But they are definitely a team. I mean, you look at their perimeter guards, you're starting with D'Lo and Austin Reeves.
Right.
Like, where is the perimeter defense there? You know? And Anthony Davis can't do everything. LeBron is not the same consistently on the defensive end of the floor that as he has been in years prior. When he turns it on, he's still ridiculous, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that the numbers that you read off of AD, I feel like there was a lack of reaction. I know it's a Lakers player, but what in the world are those numbers?
Yeah. You told me last night.
He's going crazy.
Yeah.
And the 9-0 thing against Sabonis, I feel like wasn't really made like a big thing on socials until after last game.
Yep. Yeah.
I would bet that AD, totally guessing, didn't know that before last game. Mm-hmm. I'd be shocked if he doesn't know coming into this game that they're that he's 0-9 against Domantas Sabonis. I think AD's going to have a monster night. And limiting the Lakers' points in the paint and efficiency from two, I think, is going to be big. I think the Kings will find ways to score. Obviously, shots have to go down. You could say that every single night. But I think trying to make life difficult on AD, you're going to have to send double teams, and being crisp with that is going to be really big.
What about, because I think it's a lot easier said than done to just say AD's going to have a huge night tonight. I mean, he's had nine opportunities to have really big, like Sabonis has kind of dominated that matchup a lot of time. Like, what do you think about Sabonis' game disrupts AD so much?
I mean, AD literally wanted to be a four because he didn't want to bang with fives.
That's right.
You know, and Domas is one of the most physical guys out there.
Exactly.
So I think that that could just be something that he doesn't like to play that style of basketball. And Domas does really good. He does this well against Gobert, too, is that these shot blockers, he does a good job with the shoulder, right? Yeah. And that's how you take away the shot block a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. And shoulder, I think that shoulder, he's, there you go. And I think that Domas does that very well. A lot of times teams want to try to, you know, I'll be curious, do they try to put like Rui on Domas tonight and have AD come over as the help guy where you can really make an impact as a rim protector? But I mean, first thing that came to mind is AD wanted to play the four because he didn't want to play against fives early in his career. And Domas is as physical as they get.
Do you think that leads to more shots, like jump shots, or is that just AD being more physical?
In what way?
For Domas? Yes, in saying that AD is going to have... I'm just trying to figure out how does AD have the good game against Sabonis, because to me, I agree with you. I mean, I just see that AD does not want that smoke, and unless the mentality changes of, okay, I'm willing to bang today, like I just don't see how he gets over that.
I think it is the physicality, and I think these other guys have to come over and help him out when it comes down to it. Like, Domas is a guy that probably takes a little bit of a double team with some of his physicality, even against a guy like AD. I mean, again, we saw it with Gobert. It's as good as it gets, and Domas is good about what I said, the shoulder, and that's how you create space.
Sure.
It really is what it is there. And on the other end, though,
yeah,
like the Kings are going to get torn up in the pick and roll. I think we're going to see a bunch of that zone. The Kings go to that zone specifically when they can't defend pick and roll. And we've seen a lot of zone, guys. Mm-hmm. Meaning they cannot defend the pick and roll.
Yeah.
And that's where AD I would expect to really try to cook tonight on the other end.
You're talking about help out, too. And my concern, I guess, and the injury report will come out in about an hour and a half, if it hasn't already. 1:30 is the deadline for injury reports. But Trey Lyles leaves the game last night late, doesn't return with a knee injury. We don't have any clarification on that just yet. And then Keegan Murray tested out his ankle and wasn't able to give it a go last night. If the Kings have to play the Lakers without both those guys... Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the rotation looks like. I'm wondering if you guys think it's a Kessler-Edwards type situation, because Sasha Vezenkov is still out. Obviously, if he was playing, it'd be an easy, you know, decision to slot him in those minutes. But if Keegan and Trey were both not able to go, what does that rotation look like? I feel like you have to go with Kessler probably, right? Or is it just heavy Alex Len minutes?
We saw Duarte.
That's a good
last
question.
Night.
I think it'd be Duarte. Trey
Lyles.
Do you just go heavy with Chris and keep playing Keon, Davion?
Worked yesterday.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's
Malik.
A pretty long team.
True. You know? The Lakers aren't like too long as well, but... Yeah. But then my other side note, on a positive note,
mm-hmm.
one other man needs to be concerned for the Los Angeles Lakers, and it's De'Aaron Fox.
Yes,
De'Aaron
sir.
Fox
talk about it.
Has been a menace against the Lakers. Over the past two seasons, De'Aaron Fox, 6-1 record, 32.6 points, 4.1 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal and a half, 56% shooting, and that includes his 44-point career-high tying performance a week ago. He just really loves getting up for these games, I think. I think that he definitely enjoys the bright lights, the spotlight. Again, a national TV game tonight. I think De'Aaron really does thrive in those environments as well. Going to be a packed atmosphere, packed house.
Yeah.
Hopefully a lot more purple in the crowd, the right purple, you know,
yes.
no yellow and purple.
Right.
But these crowds are always a fun time, and it's going to be an exciting atmosphere. But De'Aaron Fox is my player to watch. AD on the other side for the Lakers, but... part of me wishes it wasn't a back-to-back. I like seeing these two teams play on even grounds as far as rest goes, but there aren't going to be any excuses from the Kings locker room. They're well past that point of making excuses.
One thing, as you bring up the rotation possibly already being shorter, what I worry about, and you know, you talk about first team all foul merchant. I don't even know who's the actual foul merchant, the worst foul merchant on the Lakers. They're all foul merchants. So if anybody, and you talk about Chris Duarte getting that time, if anybody gets into foul trouble, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. So I think we're probably going to see Kessler Edwards, to be completely honest with you, because somebody's going to be in foul trouble.
If both aren't playing, I feel like you don't really have a choice, right?
I mean, I guess you do, because I mean, it's really just HB that you're talking about as your four that's available, and then, like, if you go Chris, it's not big enough. I guess it has to be Kessler. And that means Kessler's getting some reps on LeBron, by the way.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
You feel good about that?
We've seen that before.
We have.
And Keon Ellis quietly had four fouls last night. Yeah. So, you know, D'Lo's going to be whipping his head back and doing all the shenanigans. So
the only thing they did bad in that game against Milwaukee was send him to the line 500 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
How many did you finish with? 16? 15?
Giannis yesterday?
Yeah.
A lot.
Finished with...
He had 14 free throws. 14 free throws.
Well, the game took so long.
That's like an extra half hour right there,
Yeah, the pace, it was a confusing pace last night. It was kind of clunky. When the Kings were rolling, it was great, but it did get stuck in the mud a little bit, and I think that's what the Lakers are going to look to do tonight, even though it didn't work out for the Bucks. I think that's what the Lakers are going to want to try to do just to slow down that Kings offense, and they have not had much luck doing that so far. Thank you to Brandon Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli. I know you guys are rocking and rolling tonight. We'll be in the building. Before you go, what's the prediction? What happens tonight? You can give a score if you want. You don't have to, but if you want to.
You
want
to go ahead first? Because you told me your prediction yesterday. Do you want to stick with that?
I did. I did say before the game yesterday that I thought they were going to beat Milwaukee and then lose to the Lakers. Okay. So I'll roll with that. I'm scared about a really big AD night. I think AD might go crazy.
I'm
going to stick with my prediction, which last night I was super down. I thought the Kings were going to get rolled by the Bucks. I mean, when you lose 15 in a row, how can you not feel that way, I guess? But I'm excited for a very pumped up atmosphere. I think the Kings are going to show up tonight.
There you go. You will get our predictions, Chris and Alan, towards the end of the show. Thank you to our guys. When we return, continuing the conversation, and we also are about 45 minutes away for your chance to win Hassan Minhaj tickets. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Thank you to our guys, Brandon Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli, Sacktown Sports Kings Insiders. Make sure you check out SacktownSports.com for all their great work and follow them on social media. We will be joined by Jovan Buha at 12:30, Lakers writer for The Athletic, breaking down the Lakers side of things and why he thinks the Lakers haven't been able to crack the code of the Sacramento Kings. Chris, as we go on to discuss what happened last night, did you know that that was JaVale McGee's first three-pointer made in 16 years?
It looked like it.
16 years.
What?
Is that a fair foul?
I thought it was a fair foul worthy thing. I kind of think it was a bit foul, but
he's taken a three before this season.
Yeah, it was just kind of wild. Like, it was, he was like, he asked for the, like, I watched it again, and JaVale very much knew what he was doing before, like, 5 seconds before he even shot it. He was like, no, give me the ball back. I'm going to pull from the top of the key. I kind of didn't, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't really care. Like, it.
How much time was left?
There was, like, probably 2 or 3 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. It put the Kings up 35, so I don't know. Like, it's fun. It was in front of the home crowd. It gave a good moment. So, you know, overall, it's fair. It's fine. Whatever. Nobody got hurt. It didn't start any brawl or anything like that. But, you know, it's not the best showmanship, you know?
You could say that, hey.
It's kind of showing up an opponent. Like, it's like tiptoeing on showing an opponent.
It's tiptoeing. You could say, hey, we're essentially giving up a possession. JaVale doesn't really shoot threes. Like, that's right. Look, and I'll tell you this. The way my timing always works out, I'm normally there for the JaVale workouts. And he hits them.
He hits them. We talked about it.
He hits them during warm-up.
Doesn't look pretty.
It doesn't, but he hits them when he, you know, when he's warming up. So he's saying, I'm not practicing this for nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not in the rotation.
That's right. Maybe he was like, I don't know if I'm going to get another chance. Maybe he's planning to retire at the end of the year.
I mean,
like,
we're not going to see the Bucks again unless it's in the finals. So that's not got nothing to do with me. I think I don't think it's foul. I don't think it's foul. I think the line can get blurred. A lot of these dunks at the end of games, I put those in the same category.
Hold on. While we're talking about dunks at end of game.
Oh, man. Man, oh, man.
Ooh-wee. Yeah. I don't know who. I thought it was Justin Jackson when I saw 44 and Jackson Jr. on the back. I was like, okay, nice little Sacramento reunion here for Justin Jackson. And then that man jumped. He had his chest above the rim, and I said, that is not Justin Jackson. There is no, I've never seen Justin Jackson get up that high. So I think it's Andre Jackson, if I'm not mistaken, is the guy who had that dunk yesterday. That was crazy.
That was crazy.
That was like a top three dunk that we've seen in that building, period, I think. But definitely this season, that's one of the best dunks I've seen.
Well, and you talk about fair or foul, and it's just human nature, but the way the Kings bench reacted to it.
Did you hear De'Aaron's postgame comments?
Yeah, yeah. So essentially, go ahead. Yeah. So
pretty much, De'Aaron said, I mean, he was dying laughing when asked about it, but I guess De'Aaron hits Kevin Huerter on his head, because if you look at the replay, Kevin Huerter full stands up out of his seat after the dunk. And De'Aaron said he hit Kevin on the head and was like, "What are you doing?" And Kevin was like, "He's from upstate." And De'Aaron was like, "Bro, I don't care." I think De'Aaron literally said, "Worldwide Wob is going to post this on Twitter."
Yeah.
And the first thing people are going to say is, "Look at the Kings bench reaction." And that's literally exactly what happened. It was hilarious. But it was. And that's too, like, fair or foul? Is Kevin Huerter, I mean, again, it's a little bit more playful, but is it fair for Kevin Huerter to, or really just the other team in general, to celebrate when your team gets dunked on?
Yeah, I
think it's fair. I think it's really funny.
Well,
it's
I think you're moments. Not, I think in the moment, you just forget. I think that's
we're
how
all observer. That's what makes basketball so great.
When you see something at that level and you are that surprised or you are that impressed, there is no time as a human to
no
remember,
allegiance.
That guy is on the other team and you get hyped up. We've seen people do it before. That one was just a little bit much, but that dunk was...
It's also up 35. It makes it like, okay. You
know, yes,
like,
we're all ahead. They're hanging out. They're laughing. They were making or attempting to make Keegan laugh on the bench. So the vibes are definitely right and headed in the right direction. Yeah. And Nate, you were talking to the insiders, so I'm going to repeat this because I know you would really love this one.
Okay.
Because in prop talk, Nate is always doing some random stuff. But that was the first three that JaVale McGee had hit in 16 years. 16 years.
How many is he? Has he attempted more than Shaq?
That's a great question. Let me,
because you know they got beef. And Shaq, what has
not
like
anymore.
Eight attempts?
Now Shaq, if you've seen, now Shaq is beefing with Rudy Gobert. He's moved on.
Oh, well,
from
he's
JaVale.
Always beefing with Dwight too. Dwight
yeah,
Howard,
that's right.
So
now that JaVale's got some jewelry on his fingers,
I'm here for that. Would I have bet the over on half of a three pointer?
Of course you would have.
Of course 1,000%. I would not have.
If those odds were
dude,
anywhere,
my bets are sick.
Yeah.
Fair I've been
enough.
Hitting, right?
Yeah, actually. We'll
YouTube
get
channel
it.
Get me back. I did last night, almost in the first quarter.
We will get to that at 145. But yeah, as far as the fair or foul thing, I think it was fair. You get an opportunity to do something, and you're out there.
Sure. Why not?
You're out there, so why not? As we continue the conversation, Kings could be a little bit confused today, Chris, or tonight. I think we've heard Mike Brown say without saying that they are not really the team besides a Malik Monk that are going to see the we're 1.5 point dogs at home against a team that has not beat us. And I don't know how much of a chip the Kings are going to, hey, look at this, guys, we're being disrespected. I don't know how much of that they have within them.
Sure.
But hopefully it's enough to just propel them. I will take that in this situation. Yeah. And maybe Vegas is looking at the back-to-back thing as well.
Yeah.
Who knows? But I would take that these days over the Kings being about a 7-point favorite.
Absolutely.
I definitely would.
I feel a lot better about that. Absolutely.
Yes.
No, and I think, you know, we were talking about De'Aaron and you know, Frankie pointed out his numbers the past 2 years against the Lakers. De'Aaron does not like the Lakers. Like, that is a real thing. It not only has to do with the Kings-Lakers rivalry, but let's not forget that draft, too. If everybody remembers, it was Markelle Fultz 1, it was clearly Lonzo Ball number two to the Lakers. No thought about it. Mm-hmm. Jason Tatum three, and De'Aaron ended up going five. There are pictures. If you Google De'Aaron Fox Lakers, there are cursed images of De'Aaron Fox wearing Los Angeles Lakers equipment when he was there for their workout. He was under the impression that he had a shot to go to the Lakers. Wow. There's some, the same way we hear guys like CJ McCollum. Come in here. Oh, I got some. Klay Thompson. Yeah. These guys. I thought they were going to draft me.
We heard a story about
me.
Damian Lillard.
Oh, yeah. Damian. I was confident. The Kings, they told me they loved me and they didn't take me. And so I'm 15 years later upset. Like, no. And then now it's our turn. So now it's real. And now we, De'Aaron got something for him because they just skipped on him. Yeah.
Did you just lower your voice?
Yeah, because it was like, me. Why we play Cats for the here. Kings. Yeah. And then it's, why you skip on our boy D. Fox like that?
That's right.
It's a movie. We in a movie.
You know, I just love playing against his team, man. I'm not really going to get into it. That's what De'Aaron, he wouldn't get into it.
Don't even like know what opponent I'm playing until I step out on the floor, to be honest.
Exactly. And then I just eat some tacos and I go about my business. Look, he does.
I've never played basketball in my life. And then I step on the court and I remember everything.
Everything. You know, in sixth grade, there was a dude who played against me and he didn't get drafted, but his favorite team was the Lakers. Uh-huh. And every time we play the Lakers, I think about that guy.
You sound like LeBron predicting Kobe's 81. I sat down with my friends. I said, Kobe's going for 1,000 tonight.
And I was pretty close.
I was pretty close.
Do you think that it's a bad matchup, Chris? Do you think that there is anything that Darvin Ham, it would require him to actually coach, but do you think that there's anything that Darvin Ham can do to say, okay, let's grind this tape. This has been the issue against the Kings.
Time to take the hands out the pockets.
Yeah. Take the hands out the pockets. Actually use your whiteboard. Do you think there's anything that he can do or anything that he's seen to say, let's do this? You got to do something different.
Yeah. No, I have a conversation with LeBron James, and I say, bro, you're LeBron James and Harrison Barnes is guarding you, and if Keegan's not out there, you have to take advantage. Like, that's the really big mismatch. Like, if you look at AD versus Sabonis, we just talked about that, mm-hmm. not a very big mismatch. D'Lo against De'Aaron, I'm giving De'Aaron the edge. And Austin Reeves against Malik, I'm giving Malik the edge. LeBron is where this team has the edge. I know, you know, he's trying to save it for playoff time right now, and he's been in and out of their lineup and, you know, with an ankle injury that's, you know, flared up here and there, but he's got to be great tonight. Like, it's a big part of it is LeBron being the dominant beast he was, and we saw it. Like, we saw him hit that little shoulder shrug twice in that first quarter, and that's what they need. If the Lakers want to have a chance, in my opinion, it starts with AD and LeBron, but it's definitely on Bron to have 25-plus and have that signature LeBron 25-7-7.
And I'm trying to remember how many of these games have been national against the Lakers. I know the first one was. The first one was when they got their doors blown off. Yeah. So you know LeBron, he picks and chooses his spots, and this is going to be a spot where LeBron tries to show out. When we return, we are joined by Lakers writer for The Athletic, Jovan Buha, to talk all things Lakers and what does he think the Lakers are going to try to do tonight to beat the Sacramento Kings. Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We are joined, as promised, by Lakers writer for The Athletic, Jovan Buha. Jovan, thank you so much for joining us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me.
Let's start here. You know, we're used to talking about Kings and the teams that the Kings can't beat. It's nice to be on the other side of the shoe for once with the Lakers unable to beat the Kings so far this season. What is it specifically from your perspective that the Kings do that the Lakers just have a problem with?
I really think it's the two-man game between Fox and Sabonis. There are some similarities with the Jokic-Murray two-man game, which also gives the Lakers problems. They've lost 8 consecutive games to Denver. They've lost 6 of 7 to the Kings over the past 2 years. So those two teams in particular, just with the unique dynamic of their offense with a passing big who can be a dribble handoff right. hub and operate from the elbows, and then a lightning quick point guard. And obviously in Fox's case, you know, arguably the fastest player in the league or in that conversation. So I think, you know, with De'Aaron, they don't have a guy who can take that assignment and lock into him and hang with his foot speed. So he has a physical advantage against whoever the Lakers put on him. And then Sabonis has played very well against Anthony Davis. He's 9-0, or his teams rather are 9-0 against AD's teams during, you know, the course of their careers. So he's gotten the better of him, and he kind of fits the profile of, you know, Anthony Davis can tend to struggle against bigger, you know, bruising big men who can get into his legs and kind of, you know, push him around a little bit in the paint. And that's what, you know, Domas has been able to do in some of their matchups. So I think those two guys in particular, you know, have been able to match or surpass LeBron and AD. And that's ultimately been the difference, in my opinion, in most of their recent matchups.
Yeah, and I mean, AD is one of the most versatile bigs that we have in this league, and so it is a little surprising to see him just kind of be dominated so much on one side of that matchup. Is there anything you can see AD doing that could maybe help him out in that matchup? I mean, maybe making more jump shots and pulling Sabonis out, like just trying to, because it seems like the physicality is really the thing that AD struggles with in that one-on-one matchup. What can AD really do to try and get around that fact?
Yeah, I think the Lakers could be a little bit more creative with how they use him offensively. I think in rewatching the, you know, his possessions against the Kings from last week, like it was a lot of ISOs and post-ups. Right. And I felt like that played into Sabonis's advantages as a post defender, as a guy who's a bit heavier and stronger right. than AD. So I think leveraging his size and athleticism, because when AD is on the move, that's where he's really difficult to stop, because having a 7-foot athletic guy with the level of skill and finishing that he has is something that most defenses struggle with, right? So I think getting him more involved in pick and rolls, maybe some more like stack actions where they have someone back screening for him, and maybe he comes up, screens for LeBron, D'Angelo Russell or Austin Reeves comes and sets him a back screen as he's rolling, and like just kind of mixing it up a little bit right. and not being as stagnant, as predictable as I felt like they were at times. And that's kind of the ebb and the flow with the Lakers offense is when they're running organized things, like they're very difficult to stop. And they've been one of the, you know, a top 5 offense over the last couple of months, but there are also times where they're disorganized and they're kind of freelancing out there. And that's when you see it kind of devolve into ISO ball. And like, they have the talent to win more often than not. But I think in this particular matchup, they have to be very, you know, they have to make a concerted effort to target Sabonis in different ways and not play to his strengths, which to me are, if it's like a ground battle, right. Sabonis is going to win that.
Yeah.
Right.
Talking to Jovan Buha, Lakers writer for The Athletic. Jovan, what do you think? We talk a lot about the expectations for the Kings, and, you know, with the Thunder taking that step and the Timberwolves figuring it out, the Kings are in a normal season, or without those two teams, Kings are in that 4-5 range. And because of those teams figured it out, they've bumped now down to the 6-7 range. And we were looking at the amount of money that the Kings have spent this season. They're number 23, so really not that high. What do you think has gone wrong for the Lakers to be sitting here battling to stay out of the play-in with the Warriors and all these other teams? There have been question marks about Darvin Ham. What went wrong, or what has gone wrong for the Lakers this season?
I think it's been a combination of things. First and foremost, they have been one of the more injured teams in the league, and it hasn't really affected their top players. So that's where I think, like, optically, them using the injury excuse doesn't really hold as much weight given AD, LeBron, Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, those four guys, their four best players, have largely been healthy. But it's been the supporting cast around them where, and I thought D'Lo had an interesting remark yesterday at practice where he was basically like, every single night, it seems like we have a guy stepping in to do something that they're not accustomed to doing, or stepping into a certain role that they haven't played the last few games. And it's like, it's just kind of that constant discovery process on a nightly basis that it just leads to a lack of continuity. And sometimes guys just being asked to do things that they're not capable of doing. But I also think part of that is on the coaching staff. I think that the Lakers took too long to get to this starting lineup, which has been their best starting lineup of AD, LeBron, Rui, Austin, and D'Lo. Those are their five best players. Those are their five highest paid players. And those are all five guys that helped them make the Western Conference Finals last year. And the fact that it took them almost 50 games to get to that lineup, I think like that, I don't really understand it. So right. Some of the lineup and rotational decisions, I think have certainly been head scratching at times. But I think the biggest thing has just been the West is deep. And we've kind of seen it like the healthier teams have benefited, and the teams that have been a little bit more banged up, like Dallas, the Lakers, and Golden State. Those are the teams that are 8, 9, 10 right now in the play-in mix. But they've been a confounding team because on paper, if you told me LeBron and AD were going to be as healthy as they've been, I would have guessed this team would have been in right. The home court advantage mix. And for them to be a 9 seed and really several games back from number 8, like, they've been confusing for most of this season.
Yeah, I mean, one of the confusing things for me, I mean, the Kings have really struggled to find that third consistent third scorer all season long, and it seems like D'Angelo Russell here recently something has clicked with him here recently, and he's been shooting the lights out. What have you seen that's really switched with D'Lo here recently?
Yeah, so I think it was a couple things with D'Lo where, one, he had an injury late in December where he missed a few games, and he's mentioned multiple times now that during that period, as he was just on the bench kind of observing things through a different lens, that he kind of figured out that the best way to complement LeBron and AD was not to be deferential, was not to be submissive, was not to be passive, but was actually to just play his game and sort of be like, there's going to be times where I have to look these guys off. And that's going to keep defenses honest, because the game plan against the Lakers typically is just load up the paint because, LeBron's trying to get downhill. AD's trying to get downhill. You want to force those guys to take jumpers. But you need guys to make shots to kind of spread out the defense and keep them honest. So I think D'Lo kind of had this eureka moment of, I just got to play my game. And sometimes it's going to be looking off LeBron in transition and taking a pull-up three. Like, sometimes that's going to be running a pick and roll with AD, and instead of throwing him the pass, I go to the rim and I try and finish. Like, I have to be aggressive to embolden them. And then he had a game in mid-January, which really set things off, where LeBron was out. He goes for then a season-high 37 points against Utah. And from that point, he's just been rolling offensively. So I think it was just kind of that early January time where he figured out, like, the best version of me is ultimately going to be what helps LeBron and AD. And we've seen, like, to me, this is not only his best stretch as a Laker during his two different tenures there, but like, considering that he's helping a team actually win and really contributing at a high level, like, this could be the best stretch of his career. And it's been really remarkable to see, because he was coming off of December where it was a very rough month. He got benched. Like, it was a tough few weeks for him there. And then to kind of come out of that and now be playing the best ball of his career has been really impressive.
Yovan, before we get you out of here, we got to ask the question. LeBron James, is he in a Laker jersey next season?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
It's just going to be a matter of, is he in a Laker jersey for one more season, or is he in a Laker jersey for multiple seasons? And I think that's a LeBron question in terms of just his future and what he wants. But if I had to predict, I think he opts out and signs an extension for 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. But there's also the chance he just exercises that player option and keeps it year to year, as he's tended to do with previous contracts. But LeBron wants to be in LA. The Lakers want him in LA. And I think they will figure something out to keep that partnership going.
Yovan, actually, one more real quick before we get you out of here. I have to ask, it went pretty viral. The Kobe statue that had the misprint of the box score. How does that happen? And is there plans to get it fixed?
Yes. So how it happens, I'm not quite sure. You know, you would think they would just go verbatim, you know, directly off of the box score, right, and just use that. And the box score was correct. So it wasn't a matter of like the box score had typos,
right,
and they just applied that. But this has been something the Lakers have actually been aware of for weeks since the launch of the statue. It was just a matter of when this was going to come out. And then I believe it was a German journalist tweeted about it, and that's what went viral. So they were aware of it, and there are plans to address it. They're going to replace the box score. Of course, it's a statue. It's not exactly like the easy, don't just like, you know, erase it and put a new one on. So like there's going to have to be a process, I would assume, after the season, just when it's, you know, they can kind of dig in there in the off season. But like, there's also going to be two more Kobe statues. So I think there's going to be some extra attention on those two, making sure there are no typos and this doesn't happen again.
It's incredible.
Jovan Buha, this has been great. Lakers writer for The Athletic. Johan, are you in the building tonight? Are you in Sacramento?
I am. I am in Sacramento. Okay, I'm in my hotel right now, and I'll be there tonight.
There you go. We will definitely say what's up to you, man. Thank you so much. Let's do this again. I don't want the Kings to see the Lakers in the play-in, but if they do, we will definitely have you back on. Thanks so much.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
When we return, continuing the conversation, it's time for everybody's favorite segment, Pocket Watching. Siles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Thank you again to Jovan Buha, Lakers writer for The Athletic. Going to be saying what's up to him tonight for sure. What'd you think about his breakdown, Chris, on what the Lakers might do tonight?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, he mentioned the Fox Sabonis two-man game, which we actually don't see too much of. But, I mean, I think just in general, when those two guys are getting into their actions independently, whether it be Fox just taking ISOs or Sabonis doing what he does, getting everybody involved, I think it's kind of tough for the Lakers, too. I mean, they do have LeBron James out there who is, even though he doesn't look like it, he's up there. Is he 39 these days? You know, that's a guy that it's crazy to say, but you might want to attack him a lot defensively because, you know, with how the Kings play, with the amount of movement and just running, full-blown sprints involved, like that's not really something that LeBron's trying to do at this point, of his career, and definitely not at this point in the season. So, you know, I think if anything, it's interesting to hear that it's like Malik said last year. You just don't often think like they got to worry about us. We so much worry about, oh, who's going to guard Giannis? Oh my gosh, like AD and LeBron, how do you stop that? Well, the Kings have a lot of problems that they present teams as well, and I think we've seen more times now than not that the Kings present a lot of problems for these Lakers.
We are 10 minutes away from your chance to winning Hasan Minhaj tickets at Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center, March 29th. That is at 1 o'clock. You are not going to want to miss that. Can you answer a question for me?
And sure.
Yeah, I think I know ball, but I'm not going to fake this one. What is it exactly that Taurean Prince is there to do? What is he? And I don't want to say this because then he might go off tonight. But what is it exactly that you do here?
He's there to upset Laker fans, apparently.
There's always one each season.
It's crazy. Laker fans are not fans of Taurean Prince, and they're definitely not fans of how much Darvin Ham seems to love Taurean Prince. My short answer is I think he's there to do what we saw Malik Beasley do yesterday, and that's chuck it up. Just put up 10 threes and hope maybe you hit five of them. You might hit two. You might hit none. I think last time he was 0 of, 7 or something like that.
And he was pulling.
He was pulling like crazy. So, I mean, I guess he's just kind of their X factor. He's their wild card. If he's hitting on that day, might be tough to beat the Lakers. But if he's not, then, you know, that's definitely somebody that you want to have continue to shoot the ball, because he is unafraid to do it. And the Lakers kind of, like Jovan said there, they need other guys to hit threes. That's what's made D'Lo so big for them, is the fact he's hitting 45% of his threes since that game in Utah that Jovan talked about. They need their guys to, you know, Mike Brown's been preaching tons about spray threes. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what Jovan's talking about right there. LeBron and AD getting downhill, and if they don't have it at the rim, they're going to kick it out to their guys. It's on those guys to hit it, and that's what Taurean Prince is there for. He just hasn't been doing it.
Yeah, so the spray three thing, that's not really unique to the Kings.
No.
That's just what
the drive and kick is another way of saying
it. Right, that's just what the NBA is right now. And speaking of, there were some beautiful – look, it's always beautiful. That's what I've always said about point guards. It's one thing to find – more elite passing in general, but a lot of times a point guard either looks great or not so great based on whether or not the shots go in.
Exactly.
And last night it looked beautiful, all the spray threes. Yeah. It did seem that the Kings were not getting as deep as they had been, which is what Mike Brown had been preaching on them over and over and over again. But there were some beautiful spray threes last night.
Yeah, no, I mean, it looked great. I think Mike Brown mentioned the number they took. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said it was a number that they're comfortable hitting. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Mike said previously that they were averaging around 11. So it was a lot better than that. And you saw it. I mean, it felt like it, when you look at, you know, HB having four threes, mm-hmm. a lot of those HB lives in the corner and just kind of spots up. They got to look for him too. I mean, I think a lot of it was, it's tough to find the balance of attacking the paint, but at the same time, you know, spreading and looking for those threes, but then not only looking for those threes. Because I think that was the problem at the beginning of the year, was it felt like they were just driving like it was a drill. Like they knew they were going to pass out and not actually have any intention of scoring at the rim.
And the other team knew.
Exactly. They didn't care, and they said, okay, like whatever. And it's on the Kings to make it the same way it's on the Lakers to hit those shots. The Kings absolutely have to hit those open looks. And that brings us right back to our guys, Kevin Huerter and HB, and that makes them, you know, their performances so vital. If they're not hitting shots, it really puts a lot of pressure on De'Aaron and Domas and Malik to create his own. And we've seen that those three guys have definitely been up to task here recently. But against a team that you just played on Wednesday, they've got a little bit more recent intel on you. It's going to be a tough one tonight. They're probably not going to be able to win in the same exact fashion that they won just a week ago. They're going to have to. It's much like a playoff series in a way. You've got to, you know, it's adjustments and then how you adjust to those adjustments. So even if the Kings or the Lakers get off to a good start, you still got to wait for that second half, because there's going to be more adjustments made. This is the last time that these two teams are playing each other. This is a really important game for both sides. Kitchen sink's going to be thrown out there, and it's going to be interesting to see who's got the better game plan and who makes the better adjustments.
Yeah, when we return, we will get into that pocket watching and explain why it is so important for either team to get a W tonight. Also, your chance to win Hassan Minhaj tickets. You're not going to want to miss your opportunity. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.